Hey there, and welcome back to Refocus, the go-to podcast for realtors in Arkansas. I'm your co-host, Hayden Bishop, and today we're diving into a topic that's at the core of everything we do, the true value of a realtor. Joining us are two incredible guests who know this industry inside and out, Violette Pennington and Jeremy Cupp. Between their experience, passion, and commitment to raising the bar in real estate, they're here to shed light on why realtors are more than just transaction facilitators. They're trusted advisors, market experts, and fierce advocates for their clients. We'll be talking about what sets a realtor apart, how they create real value for buyers and sellers, and why their expertise is more critical than ever in today's market. So whether you're tuning in from the car, the office, or just unwinding at home, stick around. This is a conversation you won't want to miss. Let's get started.
We're going to have a hard time being serious today.
It's going to be good.
All right. Well, welcome back to Refocus. We're excited to be back today. We have two very special guests with us. We have Miss Violette Pennington and Mr. Jeremy Cupp. One from Central Arkansas, one from Northwest. So let's dive in, Miss V. I want you to start by telling us how long you've been in the business, what got you into it, what you love about it.
Okay. I have been a realtor for 11 years. I'm an executive broker, and I'm involved with our state association. I got involved with our state because I wanted to help make a difference, and I got involved in being a realtor, or I became a realtor because I like helping people. I really do.
That's very true to your heart. After having known you for a few years, that is exactly who you are.
Literally, it's at the top. It makes my heart just shine to help people. It really does.
Perfect. And Jeremy?
What was the question again?
Tell us a little bit about you. Tell us how you got into the business, what you do, what your title is, who you're with, what you love about it.
My name is Jeremy Cupp. I'm the managing broker at Caldwell Banker, Harris McCaney & Fawcett in Rogers, Arkansas. I've been in the business for about 12 years, and what got me into real estate, I'll be honest, is the idea of the money I could make.
There you go.
I mean, obviously I like to help people, but at the time before I got into real estate, I was selling phone book ads, and I made more money selling phone book ads my first 3 years than I of selling real estate.
Wow.
So what? Phone book ads, yeah. That was 12 and a half years
I totally
ago.
Missed that boat.
Do phone books still even exist?
They're obviously a dying breed.
Let me ask a question. How long have you been in real estate? That tells me how long
seats.
Ago.
12 They're years. Called booster seats now.
Booster seats. <Home books. laughs>
I use it for starting my fire pit in my backyard.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
It's perfect.
An endless supply.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do love real estate, and I've been in real estate for 12 years, and I don't know. I mean, I don't see myself doing anything else.
I'm sorry, but that's all the time we have for you today.
I would like to toss it to you and hear, you know, you've been in it for a minute, which means you've had lots of experiences with clients. You've had the ups, the downs, the in-between. So I want to know, what do you consider one of the most rewarding moments of your career?
GRLA class.
Good answer.
Association plug. I like it.
Yeah. The Graduate Realtor Leadership Academy. The best decision I ever made was to go through that course.
Perfect. Yeah. I love hearing it.
For me, I think it's a little bit more client-focused, and whenever I first read that sentence, all I could picture was, I'm not going to say his name, but one of my clients that he had never thought that he would be a candidate to own a home, and he literally cried, and we both cried, and that right there, helping somebody who, he said, I'm the first one in my family. And I mean, you want to talk about get you in the feels.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
I bet there's nothing like selling someone their first home.
Oh, and you know, you're just celebrating with them. And when they appreciate that and share that, there's no greater feeling for me. I'm sorry.
That's awesome.
Jeremy said, forget back. The clients.
I love my clients.
Yeah. No, I know you do.
Well, on the opposite end, what do you find most difficult, and how do you kind of look at overcoming it?
Did you hear that exclaim?
for me, it's the paperwork. And I don't like paperwork. And we've got a mountain of paperwork we have to do with every transaction. So what I did to overcome that was hire somebody to take care of the paperwork.
There you go.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. Simple solution.
Outsource it.
Exactly.
Mine kind of goes into the next one, so I don't want to really be able to talk about that. But it's what people think, you know, what we do versus what we do. Like, mm-hmm. I know, I think some people think truly that we just open a door and that's all we do. And that some of us, you know, maybe we don't care or we just care about the money. And I mean, to be honest, I've probably made the least amount of money in real estate than I made in my corporate job. So mm-hmm. that really is not, that's not even a, I mean, I have to pay bills, but you know what I mean. That's not why I do what I do.
So when you're thinking about the misconceptions, because they run rampant in our industry, what are some of the things you put into place in your business and the way you present yourselves to the public and at your local boards and in your communities that help kind of put to bed those assumptions that people have?
I think, I don't know, do you want, okay, I feel like I'm talking a lot, but.
we love it.
Get that. So whenever I sit down with a client and I'm talking about everything that I do, let's say that it's a seller, and he thinks, well, I mean, all you're going to do is put a sign in the yard. Well, once he sees all of the time and the effort that I have spent in everything, I've actually had clients say to me, I need to pay you more. And effective pricing is one of the things that also, you know, whenever I'm thinking about it, because the last transaction I had, my client, she said, well, the house down the street sold for X. And so she thought that made sense to mm-hmm. put, okay, yep. that's what I want. And I said, wait. They're like 300 more square foot than you are, which an appraiser will tell you that it's not just square foot, but that there's a lot more. But that's yeah. really what we are looking at. You know, those are the cold, hard numbers that yeah. we can see.
Yeah, because people have no idea how home prices mm-hmm. are figured, and they may yeah. look down the street and say, from the outside, our houses look exactly the same, yeah. mm-hmm. which... So how do you combat that if somebody's, you know, what are you leaning on in those scenarios when someone doesn't necessarily agree that their house should be so cheap?
I call it apples to apples, or, you know, when we're looking at, you know, what improvements has, you know, house A made versus house B. And a lot of times they don't realize, well, you know, I didn't want to replace my roof because, you know, it didn't really need it. Or, mm-hmm. you know, where somebody else has done everything underneath the sun and all those maintenance items that a buyer's not going to have to worry about. Well, that's a great relief and can be given credit for, I'm trying to watch my terms here, by an appraiser.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What do you?
I mean, for pricing property, there's yeah. a lot entailed when it comes to pricing your property. It's not just, you know, what the home looks like, but location and even the lots can be different. You could have mm-hmm. two of the same floor plans in the subdivision, like brand new, you know, new construction homes, two different homeowners, two different lots, the way they stand, the way they are in that subdivision, and how they treat their homes over time. There's so many things that when it comes to pricing that property, you have to take into consideration. And it's on a case-by-case basis with each property. In my mm-hmm.
opinion, yeah.
So it sounds like you do a lot of expectation management as a realtor mm-hmm. because people might get in with their own ideas and their own ideals about how things should happen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sometimes we break hearts. And mm-hmm. I told one of my clients, I said, listen, you need me to be the – you need me to have the hard the hard talk now mm-hmm. versus whenever we don't appraise yeah. because, or potentially not appraise because you wanted to ask for, you know, mm-hmm. X. And yeah. if I don't see those numbers and think that might be an issue, I'm trying to avoid that heartbreak later mm-hmm. on down the road.
Yeah. And that comes with some expertise that y'all acquire over the years doing what you do. How do you kind of show your buyers that I do know what I'm doing? I have this expertise. I've been here a while.
I'd prefer to sit down and do a consultation with someone before I do anything with them, before I sign an agency agreement. I do a consultation, and what we're going to do is we're going to find out if we're a good fit to work mm-hmm. with each other. We're sure. going to get to know each other a little bit. They're going to get to know me and my company and what I do. We're going to set boundaries and expectations, and they're going to see that after I go through the process with them and kind of show them what I do to get property sold, that they found the right realtor for mm-hmm. the job. Mm-hmm. And it never fails. When I sit down and do a consultation with a potential client, mm-hmm. you know, they're already bought in, and I have no issues with them. There's no problems with them signing that agency agreement right away. before we show property.
Mm-hmm. So. They know you have your their interest.
Absolutely.
Yeah. At heart. Yeah. That's something you can feel. And mm-hmm. I agree with Jeremy. Sitting down. And also something that I try to do is, you know, try to manage expectations in that saying, okay, now we might find ourselves up against a multiple offer situation. So here are things that a seller might be looking for. You know, they're looking for their biggest walk away from this table. And so, you know, if a home warranty is most important to us, then, you know, we may ask for that. We may bump up a price. You know, there's different things that we can do. Mm-hmm. But just know that if you're going in against someone else, that you want to die
the
on?
You'll die on. Yep.
Hill became very hard to find.
Okay, so whenever you bring on a new client, you just talked about having a little consultation, but I know people come to the table sometimes with a little bit of baggage, a little bit of concern, worry. What are you seeing buyers and sellers come with right now that there is their biggest concern of listing or buying?
I think I know what it is.
Well, for a seller, they're wanting to know, how much do I have to pay you? Yeah. Most of the time. Mm-hmm. That's
how much do I get
conversation.
How much do I net at closing?
Yes.
That's what we're trying to make sure we get them the most money at closing, and they need to understand how.
Absolutely. And potential, and potential things like, you know, and you may do this. I tend to put in something for repairs because most sellers, I'm not going to go in my basement or in my crawl space. You know, I tell them, you may not have any idea about that this might be an issue, but let's try to plan, you know, as best as we can.
Absolutely.
It's a hot topic among a lot of podcasts we've been doing.
EST. Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Interest rates.
Interest rates.
Boom. Interest rates, yes. Mm-hmm. What are they at right now? 6.8?
Round six.
I didn't look five, before.
Six and a half.
That's where.
Last email I got, it was like six.
Last week, I know that's where they were. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was actually better than where they were, but for some of us, seasoned, we're going to say seasoned instead of old.
Not old.
For some of us, you know, our first home, we may have bought down points to 12% and we were winning, you know, at that mm-hmm. point. And so for us, seeing a six, a seven, an eight, I mean.
My first home I purchased 20 years ago at 7% interest.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. It was a VA loan. And
yeah.
That was great.
Now, I'm not saying that none of us, I mean, all of us would love, you know, free money, but
sign me up.
Right? I'll take it. Give me that booth every day. I'll take it. Woo! You know.
So what do you say to the people that say, oh, I'm waiting for 4%. Oh, I'm waiting for 5%. What do you say to them?
I waited 51 years for it. So I hope you plan in it for the long haul.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. Cause it doesn't happen often. I mean,
no.
How many times have we seen a 4% interest rate in the last 50 years?
Once.
Right. And that's what you have to tell them.
Yeah. Well, I guess technically twice. Once when it went down, once when it came back up.
There you go.
So you got to kind of put it in perspective with them. Look at the last 50 years, you know, how are mm-hmm. house prices over the last 10 years? How about the last mm-hmm. 20 years, mm-hmm. 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? I mean, they're constantly going up. And same thing with interest rates. You can look back in the last 50 years and check out what those interest rates were. We don't see 4%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fluke.
I love seeing those charts, though. I mean, it really does put it more into perspective, especially when you know that they can't. I mean, we all want those lower interest rates, but.
Absolutely.
So how do you talk somebody through that if they are dead set on waiting on an interest rate?
Well, you know, you can always refinance later if by chance it drops to 4%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree.
What if it goes back up to 12?
There you go.
Then you're stuck waiting longer.
Then you got in and good.
You're going to wish you got in now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
So what sets a realtor apart from a real estate agent today?
We talked about
and there this. Is a distinction.
What is the difference?
I feel like I just say,
what is code. The difference?
Exactly. So I love doing consultations, and I go over the difference of realtors and real estate agents. And as a realtor, we're a member of the National Association of Realtors, where we abide by a code of ethics. There's three main parts to the code of ethics. We have duties to the clients, duties to the customers, and duties to the public. And I express that with every single buyer and seller that I work with, because they need to know that there is a difference between realtors and real estate agents.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Squares and rectangles.
Yep. Yes, squares and rectangles. There you go. I agree. Mm-hmm. I have nothing more to add. That was beautiful. It made me want to stand up and salute. It was beautiful.
At ease, soldier.
I was like, ooh, yeah.
At ease.
So we've talked about some of the big conversations you have with your clients, but what are some of the lesser known services that realtors provide that really set them apart from any other agent?
Well, I think we have to be kind of careful sometimes with what we say we can do. Like, I'm definitely not a therapist, but you see a lot of agents claiming that they're therapists.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you don't have to be a therapist? Oh, crap.
Wasted those years.
Yeah. I need to put some stipulation in my contract.
But you see it all the time. Like, as a real estate agent or a realtor, they claim that they're therapists, they're babysitters, they're all these things. And we're really not. We obviously can't claim that. It's funny. I mean, in those posts, it's obviously meant to be a joke. However, we can find anything. We can find the answers to anything. We can be the source of just about anything, but we are realtors. And the services that we provide can include vetting subcontractors, home inspectors, giving them a list of different contractors that can benefit them that benefit them in the process of purchasing the home or even after purchasing the home as a homeowner.
Mm-hmm. What are the potential pitfalls of recommending just one?
Yeah, you could. that might be an uncomfortable situation. Let's say that they find out that there's some type of connection, or let's say that it's viewed as that's your preference and they do a poor job. That can get you. Mm-hmm. I always say it's a great idea to at least bring three to the to the table just for somebody. And if you don't have three, I mean, sometimes, you had a third one and they didn't show up so good. So, it might even be two, but, you can say, listen, these two, I have seen their work. My clients have given, excellent stars for them. And, it's our list of people. A lot of times there's some good candy money there. Mm-hmm. The people love it.
See, I have a list of contractors that I do recommend, but I very rarely tell them who I would use unless they specifically ask. They ask me, who would you use? And I'll tell them, this is who I've used on my properties.
Yes.
However, I know that these other folks, they do a great job from knowing that from other clients and from other realtors' clients, that they've done a really good job for them. So, but this is who I don't mind recommending who I have used, but I give them a list of those vendors so that one person that they choose, if I had only recommended one, they do a bad job, I'm to blame. Mm-hmm. They will blame me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and sometimes people want to know, I'm sorry, sometimes people want to know, if I'm a seller and say that, okay, well, V, you said house A has a tankless water heater. Well, how much money does that actually get me? Well, and I'm not an appraiser, so I can't give, exact numbers, but we can look at it and say, well, they might have gotten a little bit more consideration, or it looks like it sold for a little bit better. Because also the opinion of the buyer, how quick did that one go under contract versus one that, it's 22 years old, maybe. that old guy in the corner. Not that 22 is old.
Don't make Hayden feel bad about herself.
She's no. Honey.
She's 21.
Oh, to be young again.
I can beat that twice. At least.
Yeah,
and some change.
Well, it sounds like these these relationships and this network that you guys build. I mean, it takes time to build that. It doesn't come overnight.
Oh, it does. Yes. And, you know, trust. It's, mm-hmm. Yes. And I, in the beginning, when you're a new realtor, you kind of go off the recommendations from other realtors and you get a list. And most brokerages, they have a list of vendors that they have prepared for their agents to use so that they can give those to their clients. But as you progress in your real estate business and you get more and more experience, you start working with multiple vendors like lenders, home inspectors, title companies, insurance companies. You start to pick out the ones that you really found to be hardworking and they treated your clients right and your clients mm-hmm. were raving about them. So you keep them on your top of list recommendations. And maybe it changes over time. I know I've taken people off my list and I've put new people on and sometimes I put people back on my list. You know, it just depends.
When they act up, you gotta take them off.
Well, and just, it's kind of the nature of the beast. You know, if you are, you know, a go-to, let's say lender, you're a rock star lender. Well, if you get, 40 new clients tomorrow, you know, your work performance is definitely going to be a little bit more challenged unless you have mm-hmm. that support. So that's whereas, you know, sometimes revisiting that list and go and asking your clients, well, how was your transaction? Do you feel like, you know, you got enough information? Were they, you know, were you able to contact them? Were they proactive in contacting you? Or were you having to, like, you know, pull the information out? And so,
So it sounds like relationships are kind of everything.
Yeah, it is.
What are some things that y'all do to maintain those relationships, both with, you know, contractors, lenders, and your clients?
Well, let's see. I'll go with contractors first.
What'd you say? Bribes.
Bribes.
You know, it's funny is I'll usually ask my go-to lender, title company, insurance company, you know, to help us out or sponsor open houses or sponsor, I don't know, office parties, things like that. Especially our board of realtors, we're always asking our affiliates to help sponsor things. And that's one big way I help keep them involved because, I mean, they've got a budget for that, right? They got a budget to come and support other realtors. And I love that. If they're willing to do that, I mean, I keep throwing them bones. And the more people I get them front of, the better it is for their business too.
Sure. I try to stay in as close contact and I, you know, I would be lying if I said I've stayed in touch with every single client that I've helped over my tenure, but I feel like I've tried, you know, to send, you know, a Christmas card, a text every now and then, which they say that's not as good, but you know, I'm going to start doing a little bit better job, getting a little bit more organized and doing some video, you know, messages. Yeah. Because, I mean, for me, it's about seeing your excitement and, you know, hearing how much you care and seeing that. And so sometimes just a text can fall short and even a phone call. If you can't see my, you know, I'm a little expressionate. Just a little, you know.
And I'll be honest, you know, I'm not very good at that follow-up afterwards. For the first year, for the first year, I'll reach out to them every once in a while. But then after that first year, I kind of do a poor job of keeping up with my clientele. I know that's one area that I need to improve on.
Well, we get busy, right? I mean, it's somewhere where we can always grow. And that's what I'm trying to focus on, too.
Growth mindset.
Okay, so I'd like to talk about, we're going to hit the advice portion of the podcast here. Everybody strap in.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, you know, we've talked about first-time home buyers. I talked about sellers. We've touched a little bit on that. But I want to know, if you were to mentor an agent, which both of you likely do, brand new agent getting into the industry today, what are you going to advise them to do to be successful in this industry right now?
Strap on your Nikes and run. Run the other way.
She means
no, I'm
head first into the
head
industry.
First into.
Oh, yes, I meant the other one. No.
Oh man, that's a really great question because we get asked that a lot. I mean, as a managing broker, I'm constantly training and mentoring agents, and I see who's successful.
Yeah.
And who isn't? After the first 6 months, you can tell who's going to make it or at least have some longevity in their business. But the folks that I see who are more successful are showing up to training. They're coming into the office. They're going to their contracts training, their sales meetings, their sales training. They're They're picking up what the brokerage is putting down. They're volunteering for things. They're doing open houses. They're doing all the things that the broker and their training staff has told them to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that because we have the ability to choose our own schedule, we're our own bosses, mm-hmm. that a lot of people get into this business thinking that they don't really have to do much because they're their own boss.
And freedom can be dangerous.
Freedom is dangerous. I mean, we all have a boss. And if you're your own boss, you really got to start telling yourself
my
what to do.
My boss really sucks.
And hold yourself. You got to hold yourself accountable, you know? Mm-hmm. And you got to, if you're going to do something, put it in your calendar. If it's not in your calendar, it doesn't exist. And you just hold yourself accountable to mm-hmm. follow that schedule.
Okay. So I want to kind of expand on that. You touched on something interesting. As a managing broker, you can kind of see the trajectory as you watch your agents. So these underperformers, are you mentoring to get them to be high performers, or are you having the hard conversation that maybe this industry isn't cut out for, like maybe you're not cut out for this. Maybe you should.
Absolutely. We have those conversations, and maybe not those words exactly. I try to tiptoe around that.
But, be a little gentler.
Yeah, a little bit more gracious.
I do give them a lot of grace, and I encourage, keep encouraging them to show up to things, you know, and I start talking about the other agents who have started when they started, or maybe they're even newer and we're seeing success from them. And I share, you know, what they're doing to become successful, because, you know, everybody might be really good. Or there's a lot of agents who might get into this business and they're really good at open houses, or they're really good at farming, or they're really good at cold calls or whatever. And, you know, I share that these folks are successful because they're coming in and they're putting in the work and they're doing this, they're doing that. Mm-hmm. And I try to encourage mm-hmm. them to come. However, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Right.
Truth.
So mm-hmm.
They have to want it.
Yeah. I mean, this business is very easy to get into. One of the easiest businesses you can get into, but it's one of the hardest to build.
Yeah.
And it takes work. It takes a lot more work than the general public realizes.
Yeah, what's that percentage? I don't remember, and I don't want to put us on the spot, but it's like
80% don't make it past their first year.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's 80%, roughly. It could might have changed a few points.
Yeah.
It's roughly 80% of realtors don't make it past their first year. And you have to realize that. And if you know those statistics in your head, you want to beat those statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what motivated me to work my butt off my first couple of years to get my business.
Really surround yourself with a network of people that's going to lift you up and kind of guide you.
Absolutely.
Kind of getting involved sounds like it would really help you.
Something that I tend to tell other agents is because I had several brokers that poured into me, and they saw value in sharing, you know, some of their wealth of knowledge. And, you know, I tell them, don't be afraid to come to me. There's not a stupid question. Don't be afraid if you're, you know, having a bad day. We all have bad days, you know. Mm-hmm. There's things that happen. And we talked about this a little bit in professional development, and it was, you know, Sandra had helped me coin it, because I was like, I don't know what, I know it's a grace. And she said, it's professional grace. And it's just, you know, giving each other an okay to have a time, a moment where you just need to talk to somebody, mm-hmm. and rely on those that, you know, the your mentors, the ones that know, go back to them. And then probably the second part for me is never stop growing. You know, it's so wonderful to be involved. And one of the reasons, main reasons why I was involved with our state is because it constantly challenges me. It pushes me out there, and I need to grow and learn, and it teaches me things that I never even dreamed that, you know, I thought I knew everything, you know. I'm teasing. I didn't, but, you know.
If you get in this business and if you don't consider yourself a lifelong learner, then you're in the wrong business. Because
for sure.
This business, we're constantly learning. Things are constantly changing. And if you don't consider yourself a lifelong learner, then you're just not going to make it very far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the easiest ways to learn and continue growing professionally is to have a be surrounded by like-minded professionals,
sure.
Which you get in the association. So, you know, association plug here. I'd love to know what benefits both of you have seen from your involvement with ARA. How has it benefited you in your career professionally and personally? I know that's a loaded question.
It is. Well, I mean, obviously the knowledge that I have gotten by being involved, by doing GRI, by also being chosen to do GRLA and all of those leadership opportunities, they truly do challenge you and pour so much information, you know, into you, and learning from each other, like sitting in a room and being able just to talk about situations and, you know, learning about how the different parts of the state are, you know, challenged by certain things. And I don't know how you can't grow if you're involved. I mean,
the exposure alone, just to all parts of the state.
And it provides a passion and a fuel for me, too, where if I'm having, you know, a hard time and going, woe is me, or I'm down in the dumps because of a situation and an appraisal, you know, gone awry or something, then, you know, I might can call Jeremy and go, dang, this was a rough day. And he's like, tell me about it, you know, mm-hmm. and we can just kind of, you know, talk about it without sharing actual details. That, you know,
getting involved with the association really expands your knowledge base too. Things that it drives these things a little bit deeper, like the ethics training, professional standards, and all these other things that it drives it so much deeper. So you get to use that as a resource to your clients. It makes you a better realtor, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like both professional and personal growth.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So we've talked about advice to other realtors and other agents you might be mentoring. What advice do you have for the consumers, for a buyer or seller who thinks, man, I just don't know if I'm ready?
They're ready to buy or sell?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. See, that's why it's so important to sit down and do a consultation. And I don't like calling it a consultation. I call it a game plan. Because a consultation sounds boring.
Strategy session.
Game
strategy
plan.
Session. Ooh, I like that. I'm going to write that down and use that later. Strategy session.
We have to be able to say it first.
I'm going
to
write that down.
I call it my game plan. You know, I sit down with them and I really go over the market with them. I go over market statistics, whether they're a buyer or seller, what kind of market we're in, and I encourage them to get out. And we've talked about it already before. I mean, if they're worried about interest rates, that's one of their primary concerns, then they need to stop worrying about that and get out there, or the interest rates are going to probably climb. I mean, they're not going to go down to that 4% like we really hoped they were. And if it does, it's probably not looking good for our economy. Cause I mean, that's what happened the last time, right?
Well, and potentially up against 20 other offers, right? Oh, so if everything goes down, then that usually drives our prices up because our demand. So it's a double-edged
sword. That's a really good point. No, and that's great. That's perfect because, I mean, if
that's part of his now strategy session.
Strategy
session. I got it down. But, you know, once those interest rates, you mentioned it, once those interest rates start dropping, you got more and more buyers that hit the buying pool, and you get in these multiple offer situations, it drives that price up, and
it can be very challenging. Situation.
Yeah. I like an equal market. A balanced market is like the best market, in my opinion. But I mean, even if you're in a buyer's market, a seller's market, I mean, things are moving rather quickly, but a balanced market's pretty great. And in our market, we're kind of leaning towards a balanced market. So it is great for buyers and sellers because buyers and sellers are both give and take right now, giving and taking. A lot more negotiations going on right now. They're not selling for over asking price. They're not getting into multiple offer situations like they used to. I mean, I'm sure there are some now, obviously.
And I think sometimes you can ask questions to help somebody, you know, like when you're trying to say, okay, well, I mean, how did you feel, you know, when you walked into this house, you know, all of those, it's making all of those decisions, but sitting down with somebody and discussing the pros and the cons, you know.
And encouraging those buyers to get out there and just look at property. Because I know I've had lots of buyers who are just like, I don't see anything online that I really, really like. Well, pictures can be very deceiving, especially depending on the listing agent, I guess. But, you know, I just want to encourage them. Like, it doesn't cost them anything to sign an agency agreement with a realtor, to do a consultation, to go look at properties. If they decide after looking at homes, they just haven't found anything they like, they don't have to buy. I don't think they realize that. It's not like once you sign an agency agreement, you have to buy a house. You don't have to
buy. I think that is a massive misconception with people, especially with the change of the settlement that requires people to sign an agency agreement prior to viewing a home now.
Yeah.
People think they're locked in with that. And that's why we get a lot of calls from the public where we're like, you know, that the duration of that agency could be a day.
It could be, yeah.
It could be just an hour.
And it's entirely
for just one house.
And it's entirely up to you. It's entirely up to what the consumer wants to put in that contract.
What they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And I always tell my clients, and I'm sure Jeremy, you know, if we're working together and you decide tomorrow that we're just not meshing well, you don't like the information I've shared or I'm doing something improper, you know, you can let me know and we can make this go away, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a few guarantees that I guarantee my clients, and I always tell them that if they don't feel like I'm upholding these standards that I've set here, I always sign it in front of them. And I tell them they can fire me if they decide that I'm not living up to the standard that I have set forth in our consultation.
I like that.
With a $5,000 penalty.
Maybe not that much. Maybe just $4,999.
I think for the most part, man, I see a lot of good in realtors.
Yeah.
We give back so much to our communities. I don't think they realize that.
At three times the rate of the average person.
Really?
Yeah. See? From NAR.
That's amazing.
See, I love that. We give back. We don't get anything in return for that. You know, we do it because we care about our communities. We care about our people, and we want them to thrive just as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
I don't think there are bigger community champions than realtors.
I don't
we have really
realtors
big hearts.
Are good neighbors.
We really do. We have really big hearts.
Should be our slogan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Realtors make the best neighbors.
Yes. You're good people.
Okay, so it's rare that we have two GRLA grads on the podcast at once.
Woohoo!
So I did want to do a small little bit about your experience with GRLA.
Well, V and I were obviously, we're in the same class. Yeah. And
2023.
Yeah. Yeah. Shall be named the best.
It was the best decision I ever made. It reignited a fire in me for my real estate career, and I really got more and more involved, not just at the local level, but at the state level too. And I
who might have convinced you to do that?
I wonder.
And I'm so glad I did, because I mean, GRLA was so much fun. And I tell you what, that day at the Capitol, we got to do the tour, was the most influential day. It was so cool to see that. I hadn't been to the Capitol before, and it was just an honor.
I remember your reaction.
Yeah,
I remember.
It was awesome. It was wild.
I do. We have a photo of you and Carrie by the the veterans display.
That's the moment that I'm remembering talking about this. And it's just, I tell you what, if anybody's listening, or all of our listeners, please.
Shannon, open your ears.
Yeah, there might be two. I'll plug in tomorrow. Yeah.
Look into the GRLA. And apply, because I promise you it'll change the trajectory of your career if you take it seriously. And I think that's another thing, is that realtors take this career seriously, you know. And the GRLA is one of the best classes that you can take in this industry.
The leadership opportunities that you have and what you learn, those classes that, or those moments, I guess, where things were poured into us, it was life changing for me. And then even they don't just promote that, but the bond that you create with however many are in your class.
12.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if there were. I didn't know. Yes. I didn't want to say 12 just in case we were special, you know. but I mean, we would take a bullet for each other. Oh, and there's not any challenge that we can face that we will face alone unless we decide to. And it would behoove us to lend into that and lean into that. Because between all of us, I haven't looked at that to see how many years of knowledge we have.
But
just thinking about something, a potential problem differently, you know, you may be just like BV sometimes is just one way. And I'm like, no, this is it. And then somebody come and I go, oh my God. gosh, that's like world changing.
I see it all the time in y'all's group chat. I am grateful to be privy to the group chat. It's one of the great joys of my life, belonging to all these group chats.
Oh my gosh.
Bless your heart.
One for every year.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, but he talks about y'all's all the time.
I was going to say, you can get rid of everybody else's.
I'm teasing. It is great to see, you know, like, separated across the state, hardly anybody in the same city. And when somebody pops up with an issue, everybody's responding. Everybody's chiming in with options and thoughts about how they could solve the problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is, you know, there have been losses that I've seen this group support each other on. There have been big wins that I've seen be celebrated. GRLA truly is... It's a magic thing. I'm grateful to get to be a part of it every year.
I mean,
we're all across the state, so we have referral partners from all over the state.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And I tell you what, Northwest Arkansas, you know, that's where it's at. It's the land of milk and honey.
So they say.
We get, you know, being where we're at, we got a lot of people moving into our area.
I don't care about honey.
So no. I'm always getting calls from my other GRLA classmates about possibly sending a referral out. It doesn't always pan out, but, you know, it's just awesome to have those connections all over the state. So anywhere in the state, I can call one of my folks, my GRLA peeps, and find out, you know, if they're willing to take a referral. So
yeah,
that's great. Awesome.
Yeah, they can
trust
them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Thank you guys so much for being here with us today, taking the time to sit with us after a day full of pro standards training. We appreciate you sticking around and chatting with us.
It's our pleasure. Absolutely.
We loved it. Yep. We loved it. Now do you need me to break into some kind of solo?
And with that, we're going to go ahead and end. And we will catch you next time on Refocused.